This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U-Mobile.
Good morning, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Shazana Mukhtar. International Anti-Corruption Day is observed every year on 9th December. Now, the antidote to public corruption is transparency and oversight. So today, we're going behind the scenes of a key component of parliamentary scrutiny when it comes to government spending, namely the Public Accounts Committee, or PAC. YB Wong Kah-Wo, Chair of the PAC and Member of Parliament for Ipoh Timor, joins me on the show for this discussion. Kah-Wo, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Now, you've served on the PAC since 2018, when Pakatan Harapan came into power, first as deputy chair, and as of August last year, you became the chair of the committee. The past 2 years have been tumultuous, first with the Sheraton move, and then the pandemic outbreak, followed by the emergency this year. So how have these incidences affected the oversight work of the PAC?
Since the formation of the PAC in 2018, under the leadership of the then opposition member, Dato Sri Ronald Candice, the PAC had been very, very active. As everyone can see, we call witnesses, we evaluate all the documents being put forward to us, and of course, we finalize our report and table our report to Parliament. And of course, a few incidents have actually affected the PAC a lot. The first one was the Sheraton move in February 2020. After the Sheraton move, due to a large number of the then government members have been elevated as the ministers and also deputy ministers, including Dato Sri Noraini and some others, the PAC has basically been paralyzed, because the only members left in the committees were all those from opposition. And PAC being a bipartisan committee, we need the representative from both sides to sit and to agree and to deliberate on the issues before us. So practically from February until August, the PAC couldn't do anything. We were being put on forced holiday, I would say.
Why did it take so long for new members to be brought into the PAC?
Okay, that is a very, very good question. In July, there was a sitting, and the new chairman and the new deputy chairman can only be appointed through a motion tabled in the Dewan. And without Dewan being in sitting, you will not be able to get the appointment done. And my chairmanship and my deputy's, Dato' Hajjah Azizah's deputy chairpersonship, were only appointed back in August. If I remember correctly, that was on the very last day and on the very last agenda of the sitting. So, strictly speaking, in August, we only have a chairman and have a vice chairman without any members. And we couldn't work until the appointment of all the members back in, if not mistaken, end of October 2020.
I see.
By then, only the composition of the members have been finalized by the Jawatan Kuasa Dewan. So from October onwards, we try to have our meetings every day, and we have actually planned our schedule from January 2021 to March 2021 onwards. But again, another unfortunate incident strike in, which is the pandemics and also the emergencies, darurat. So the Darura was set in on the 11th or 12th of January. And from there, we were again being put on the forced holiday until sometime in July. And of course, after 2nd of August, everyone know the political situation changes. We have a new PM. And from there, in the sitting in September and October, we take every minute of the parliamentary sittings time, morning and afternoon, to sit down, to clear our backlogs again. And I'm now happy to report to everyone that everyone are on track now. We have tabled quite a number of reports in the past few weeks, including the AES report, Primas, Amanah Raya Berhad, and of course, the most exciting one would be the COVID-19 vaccine procurement report. And next week, we will have at least another two reports being tabled. One is on the land purchase by Bank Negara Malaysia back in 2017. What I can say here is and one MDB's related transaction. And the other report is one of the current issue that is on the program MM2H, Malaysia My Second Home. Both reports will be tabled next week. So this is some of the progress of the PAC until now.
It can certainly be said that the PAC is making up for lost time. I want to understand how the PAC chooses what issues to focus on, because the mandate is really broad. You can examine the accounts of the federal government and other authorities that administer public funds. That's pretty much everything. So how does the committee decide what areas or projects to focus on during a particular term?
Oh, yes, you are right. The jurisdiction of PAC or the power of PAC is actually really wide. We can investigate anything under the sun. So from there, how do we decide on the issues that we are going to take? Number one is definitely cases that are being mentioned in the Auditor General report. The Auditor Generals will pick up some of the issues that they feel the PAC should investigate further, should deliberate further, and to come up with a report that is more comprehensive.
I see.
So that is number one. Number two, the PAC definitely will also look at those current issues that are burning and that attracts the attentions of the public and of public interest. I cite you an example. Last December, there was a huge hoo-ha out there to talk about the price of the vaccines being procured by the government, whether the government has bought it at a high price or at a low price and so on. It's the current issues never mentioned in the Auditor General report, and we have decided to take up. And of course, in the past few months, we also have decided to take up some of the investigation or reports from one Jawatan Kuasa headed by Tan Sri Amrin Buang, the former Auditor General. He was appointed as the chairperson for Jawatan Kuasa Siasatan Tapi Urus Kewangan Negara. The committee was set up after 2018 election, and they have actually concluded their investigation of more than 10 different topics, including AES, including the land swap by the Defense Ministry, and so on. And we have also picked up some of the issues from there. So the committee will then decide by way of a consensus as to what are the topics that we are going to take. I, being the chairman, I won't make decision myself. I will put everything with the suggestions and justification to the committee. And of course, I'm very happy that the whole committee from both political divides have given me full cooperation and full trust over all the decisions that are made by me and also on behalf of the committee.
All right. You preempted my question, Kawo, because I wanted to ask as chair whether you had any influence over what the PAC examines. And what you say is that you make your arguments, but ultimately it's a consensus decision with the whole committee. In that case, I wanted to ask you whether it matters if the chair is from the government or opposition side. In, you know, if such decisions are taken in consensus like that, does it matter that the head of the PAC needs to be opposition or government?
If I am the government today and I being the PAC chairman, a lot of times there might be a negative perception as to how the PAC can actually go into the business of the government of the day without fear or favor when both the chairmen and the government are actually coming from the same pack of the MPs.
Okay.
So this is one of the perceptions that we need to correct. And of course, by having an opposition MP, there is no issue of fear or favor, and there is no issue of whether you will offend the government of the day or not, because at the end of the day, we are in opposition. But of course, I would like to emphasize, in the current PSC that I had experienced in the past 3 years, we make decisions on by way of a consensus. So mutual respect, mutual trust are actually highly required, and maturity are actually highly required. And I'm happy to say that in the past 3 years, the PACs in Parliament is actually, everyone are actually giving cooperation to each other very, very well for the interest for the nation. And I can tell you, some of the government members, even more lantang and more fierce and more aggressive in asking some of the questions against the witnesses who are the senior government servants. These things do happen. So I can say the sharp questions comes from both political divides.
All right. That's actually very reassuring to hear, Kawo. And you stress that the independence of the PAC is crucial in ensuring that its reports are seen as credible, which is one good reason why the chair should always be an opposition member. Earlier in your term under the Pakatan Harapan government, you were appointed as chairman of the Sustainable Energy Development Authority, or SEDA, while also being a member of the PAC. Now, there were concerns expressed that this created conflict of interest as SEDA could come under PAC scrutiny. So wouldn't it be better for PAC members to be absolutely free of any ties to government bodies to maintain that sense of independence?
Okay, to me, under the standings order, definitely a person who is appointed as the minister and deputy minister are not allowed to sit in PAC. But there is no such restriction as to the government agencies, bodies, and so on.
Should there be a restriction?
There is no restriction.
But should there be?
Should there be? I think, of course, a lot of criticism has come in back in 2019. And I believe with my track record for my short spell of 1 year in SEDA, come the vice chairman of PAC, I have proven to everyone that I can handle it in a professional way and prove it to the people that this thing can go along. And of course, if you look at the situation that we are having now, we know that almost all the government member of parliaments have already been appointed to certain GLCs or certain agencies. And if we were to really say that those who are holding positions in the GLCs or agencies cannot sit in the PLC, I can assure you, today there will be no government members sitting in the current PAC. Because every one of the government members has already been made the head or the chairman or the director of the agencies. But again, I would like to stress, even though my members from the government are holding some other positions in the agencies, they do demonstrate the highest professionalism that they are having.
I'm speaking to YB Wong Kawo, Chair of the Public Accounts Committee and Member of Parliament for Ipoh Timor. When we come back, we discuss the findings of the PAC's recent report on vaccine procurement, as well as recommendations to improve how the PAC operates. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
You're listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Shazana Mokhtar, and in conjunction with International Anti-Corruption Day, my guest today is YB Wong Kawo, Chair of the Public Accounts Committee and Member of Parliament for Ipoh Timor. The latest PAC report focused on the government's COVID-19 vaccine procurement, and the PAC concluded that the exercise was overall well-coordinated and made reasonable use of funds. I would encourage listeners to read the report for the full findings, but what are the main points that you'd like to emphasize this morning?
Two very important issues I would like to emphasize today are, number one, the PAC feels strongly that a ceiling price need to be fixed on the distribution or selling of Sinovac in private vaccine market. We all know, as a matter of fact, Pharmaniaga is selling to all the clinics at 300 ringgit for two doses. And people were rushing for it because everyone scared and everyone couldn't wait for their appointments at my psychiatrist. They just rush for it, pay the 300 ringgit, pay another 50 ringgit as an admin charges for the clinic. Altogether, it cost them 350 ringgit. And this recommendation for ceiling price wasn't only made when the reports was tabled. I checked back the record in July, in end of July, after our proceeding with the Mosti minister. I have issued a statement and tell the government, the PAC is of the view that you need to fix the ceiling price. That time, the schedule was Sinovac will be available in private vaccine market on the 1st of August. But unfortunately, the government didn't fix the ceiling price until 10 days ago. 10 days ago, there was an announcement by the health minister to say that the government will be fixing the ceiling price and the price will be announced later. And 10 days has passed. We have seen nothing about the ceiling price. And of course, now, for you fixing the ceiling price now, to me, could be too little, too late. Another very important findings for the PAC is actually the MySejahtera app. In July, a lot of the MPs have raised, hey, how much the government actually developed this MySejahtera? How come we're still facing this much of problem, this and that, and so on? And the explanation given by the government was that the whole development of My Sejahtera apps is actually a CSR by a private company. So no need to pay the government, didn't pay anything. But in September this year, I put in a question to the government. Is the government going to pay My Sejahtera apps developer anything? And the Prime Minister has given me an written answer saying that My Sejahtera CSR has actually lapsed in March 2021, and the government is going to pay My Sejahtera from April 2021 onwards. For me and for the PAC, this is a PAC findings. We cannot allow any company to use CSR as a way for them to get the contract from the government. If this thing can be allowed, next time I can tell the government, look, give me this concession. I built a highway for you. 1 year, I didn't charge you anything. And after that, I get a 6 years concession. To me, this shouldn't happen. I have said, I have debated in parliament and tell the government, no, you shouldn't be paying My Sejahtera a single cent. What you need to do now, of course, you cannot abolish My Sejahtera altogether. You can just tell the developer, okay, look, thanks for your service in the past 1 year in developing this app. Now, please pass the apps back to the government. We have the expertise to do, and we will continue to do it, to use it in the next 5 years, 10 years, and 20 years. This is what the government should do.
Okay, so those are the recommendations put forth by the PAC to the government. What obligations does the government have to take on board those recommendations? So how much teeth does the PAC have actually when it puts forward these recommendations?
Okay, so when we were talking about whether the PAC is a toothless tiger, we will have to look at the situation. Number one, the PAC, unfortunately, we do not have the enforcement and execution power. Say, for example, sometimes when we ask SPRM, look, we have investigated this subject and we feel that there are some segments that the SPRM should go in. So please conduct an investigation over that. So we have to rely on some other agencies to do the enforcement, to conduct the enforcement. But of course, on the PAC side, what we do prior to 2018, the PAC, after tabling the report will just be there and go up to the individual MPs to take up the issues, up to the government, whether they want to take serious note about the recommendations or not. And now, after 2018, we try to enhance our value. We try to enhance our jurisdiction. Upon the tabling of the reports, within 2 months, the government must give us a written answer, and they need to come back to the PAC to tell us what have they done on it. So they need to have a feedback to us. If we have 5 recommendations, have they taken any steps on it? Do they agree on it? And what are the steps that they are going to take? For example, I give you an example. In for one of the reports on AES, which we have recently tabled, we have asked the MSCC to launch an investigation on the taking over by LTAT from the 2 concessions company at the value of 555 million, which was then reflect a very high price compared to the market price proposed by the consultant. So we feel that, look, there might be some criminal elements or wrongdoings over there. We have urged the SPRM to launch a report on that. And of course, SPRM will have to come back to us within 2 months and tell us what is the status of your investigation. At least the PSCs, with all those follow-ups, we managed to push them, to push the government to work in line with our recommendations. That is what we are doing now.
Okay, so there is that sort of back and forth follow-up, at least for now. What would help the PAC conduct its oversight role more effectively? I mean, are there resource limitations to what the PAC is able to accomplish? And what do you think you'd need to be able for the PAC to function more smoothly in its oversight role?
Of course, the biggest thing that I am trying to ask for and I'm trying to push is a live proceedings for PAC. We have been talking about this since Dato Sri Norn Zazlan time, back in 2016. We need to have a live proceedings because what? Now, when we talk about PAC, people will feel that, oh, there is a lot of secret behind PAC and so on. We do not know what actually happened, what are the business being transacted and so on. And can you imagine people like us sitting in PAC, we wouldn't have time to actually go into the chamber to participate in the debate. Our time is actually very limited. And we actually need to tell the people and to educate the people how all those committee, not only PAC, but some other select committee actually works in parallel with the Dewan Rakyat. See, this is very important. This is the first and the top things that the speaker and the government of the day should do.
What's stopping them from doing that? What are the obstacles? Why is this such a difficult thing to implement?
That is a very good question. I didn't see any reason or any excuse that can justify the closed-door meeting for the PAC. Of course, we have an old law back in 1952, the Parliamentary Privileges Act 1952, which says that all the evidence adduced in the select committee meeting cannot be made public until the report is tabled. And that was in 1952. And now we are in a new era, we are in an online era. The thing is, we have the law and the regulation that are stopping us. And I don't see that the government of the day or the speaker of the day has any will in helping us to come out from this situation. I mean, the secrecy issue is one of the issue or one of the excuses always being used. Say, for example, sometimes if we are to investigate issues involving the defense ministry, there might be some of the secrecy involved. Yes, I agree. And on that, the committee can actually decide to make it a closed-door proceeding. But the general rule is that it must be an open proceedings subject to, for special circumstances, just like what I said on the MINDEF thing. Otherwise, it should be open, it should be transparent.
I want to end on this note then. One of the things that creates a sense of frustration among Malaysians is the lack of consequences for the misuse of government funds, even after reports are issued by the PAC or the Auditor General. So you have explained that the PAC is trying to get more feedback from government ministries, trying to get more follow-up. But for the most part, a lot of times we hear these reports and then nothing happens. So some may ask, what's the point? Why does the work of the PAC matter? And why should Malaysians pay attention to these reports if ultimately nothing is done about them? So how would you counter that, Kawo?
Okay. Of course, I wouldn't say after the report is issued, ultimately there will be nothing happen. The reports tabled by the PAC wouldn't be able to stop any wrongdoings from some on some other issues and so on. Just like the Laporan Ketua Audit Negara, every time it was published, we can see the problems here and there. Definitely there will be issues in the government's administration, be it who are the government. But at least, as I said just now, after we have made our recommendations to the government and particularly to the enforcement agencies like SPRM and police, we are here, the PAC are here to actually keep an eye on the police, to keep them on pressure to work on it. There was one time in one of our reports, our report was tabled in on the Kemasukan Buruh Asing, was tabled in year 2020. And the feedback coming back to us by SPRM was that, oh, in 2019, we already closed case, investigated, and the case ended up with no further action. We have written a strong letter to SPRM and asked them to reopen the investigation. I believe on that report, they are now doing their investigation again. If there are any wrongdoings, definitely those who are responsible need to be charged in court. I would like to emphasize the PAC report is of full value. We serve as what we call warnings to all the government servants, the top ranking government servants, the ministers and the deputies, to always keep in mind that each and every actions and inactions by you all are being watched not only by the Auditor General, but also by the PAC. This is a message I would like to send.
On that note, Kawo, thanks very much for your insights and good luck to the PAC in continuing the work that they do.
Thank you so much.
I've been speaking to YB Wong Kawo, Chair of the Public Accounts Committee and Member of Parliament for Ipoh Timur. This has been The Breakfast Grill on BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.